It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
So this is what we
could
do.
You're a brave man.
I'm not saying I'm definitely going to do that, but I think in terms of timing-wise, if I'm heading towards 29...
The Fantasy Football Show.
And we're absolutely cool with having the piss ripped out of us, right? So,
Indeed.
Which is going to be difficult for Suge not to on this.
Well, it's not my... I don't own the club. What can you do? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name's Suge.
And my name is James. How you doing, boss?
FPL.
How you feeling? No. Stop. Just tell everyone how you're feeling. Is Clayton still employed?
Clayton's still employed. I'm not bothered, if I'm honest with you. I switched it off yesterday at 1-0.
I switched off at 3-0.
And after that, it's like 1-0, 6-0, whatever. We lost. Got a battering. But it's been coming for a while, right?
Record home league defeat.
Is it? I didn't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. Would you rather talk about FPL?
surprisingly not, just not bothered. I don't know. It is what it is, right? At the end of the day, nothing's changed from losing 6-0 at home that wasn't there before. It was just the same problems that Moyes has had for a little while have been... spotlight's been put on it now. And the problem is it's been a bit of a prolonged run where he's kind of getting away with it a little bit, and he didn't yesterday. So nothing's going to change. The club's not going to fire him. I don't see how they can, based on the
league
position.
You'll get a bit of a turn off of yesterday, though.
Yeah, massively. But I don't think the club will fire him. So, you know, you just... keep it moving.
All right, how was your FPL week?
Better than yours.
disaster.
Better than yours. I was wondering where the fuck did my extra 2 points come from. Then I realised it's Trippier over Porro is basically the only place that I had any advantage over.
The only win I'm claiming this week is Dubravka's 1 point over Areola, zero. That's the
so, but then I think this is a bit of a story of the weekend in a few ways, because both of us don't have any Arsenal. Sold your Arsenal.
Nodding for those on the audio, yeah.
And the way that the Man City game started was like, by the time you got to 60 minutes, you're thinking, I knew Everton were going to be a tough opponent. I shouldn't have captained Haaland. I knew it was going to be a difficult game. I knew it was going to be low scoring. And then by the end of it, your head's completely turned because Haaland scored 2 goals and you're thinking, well, yeah, I knew he was the right person to put the armband on.
Just as well me and you did do that.
Yeah, that was a saviour this week. And then even coming out of the 3 o'clock games, I'd had 2 assists out of Trent and Trippier, had a goal out of Jota. So I was thinking, all right, I had a few blanks here as well, Richarlison, Foden, and Alvarez in the morning, Doherty and Dubravka. But I thought at least I've had some returns in Haaland, captain Jota, and Trent, and I had a green arrow on Saturday, but then completely destroyed by Arsenal yesterday. And
oh,
more
was
that
a massive
one.
Green arrow on Saturday?
And everyone that's sold Saka or moaning about Saka, or even the defensive guys, and obviously Clayton sitting here pretty with his triple Arsenal defense.
Clayton,
still.
By the way, we never talk about his rank
to,
when he comes on
he
the
needs
pods.
To just yeah
Do you
come
know where
and
he
take
is
over
now?
From us, man. Yeah, he told me this
he's
morning.
He's up to 43k, Clayton.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea how, but...
No, me neither, because I think he's shit at the game, really. Sorry, Clates. Hey, pal.
Yeah, but that he must have got out of the Arsenal defence yesterday, close to 30 points. 12, 12, and a 6, I think. So
Saliba and a bonus, perhaps a little bit more than Gabriel, I think.
Wow. So plenty. Saka was 15.
No, neither of them in the bonus. So 12, 12. Raya, 7-pointer for Raya.
Okay, so 31.
31.
Yeah, amazing. Nearly a hard team scores. Did you make a
but
transfer?
Then
you
fairness,
did, right?
He obviously hasn't got Saka, so no. You win some, lose
you
some.
You sold Saka for?
I sold Saka for Jota. I don't have huge regrets on that particular decision because it was the only viable way for me to get a Liverpool attacker, really, without smashing up the team. Probably more regret on the other transfer, actually. Doughty in for Gusto, which was one I felt I could have waited on. But it was like, if I'm going to go there, I've got a game in for Sheffield United at home. But obviously, it meant impactfully, obviously, meant benching Gabriel. But in fairness, I was bust on Gusto in the team ahead of Gabriel anyway. So I was never particularly playing Gabriel this week. I also decided the more I looked at my team as the week went on to play Bowen over Bailey. Bailey obviously got a cheeky little assist yesterday.
He did.
And that was off the basis of thinking the longer the week went on, I thought it was every chance Bailey wouldn't start. Not that I fancied Bowen to do anything, but then looking at him, I'm benching Gabriel as well. Let's go with Bowen. I couldn't believe what his EO was in the top 10K going into that game yesterday. 6%, Jared Bowen.
Wow.
So it actually suddenly became a huge differential. And you can see why it became a huge differential because he never looked like scoring yesterday.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, look, you can look at it hindsight and go, oh, you sold Saka for Jota. I felt the timing was right if I was going to sell Saka or not at all. The reality is, let's be honest about it, this is the impactful thing that happens on cup results, impacting strategy. If Chelsea had lost to Aston Villa last Wednesday, I'd have sold Bowen, wouldn't I, rather than Saka. But it was looking at my longer-term plan game. I'm definitely going to want Bowen hang about for me till game week 29. Your fixtures are good after Arsenal. You won't get beat 6-0. You got beat 6-0.
Yeah, we haven't looked like scoring in ages. That's why I've gone nowhere near any West Ham attacking asset.
Oh, I've got Kudos part of my plan for 26 maybe
go
as
for
well.
It. Just go for it.
Just for the crack. So, yeah, not a good week for me. 50 points. I've dropped circa sort of 100K-ish to 278K. As I said, the small win for me this week was Dubravka's 1-pointer over Areola, 0. 4 points for Trent, 7 for Jota. Captain Haaland, that is my week.
Wow.
So, yeah, shit. Haaland's over half my points, isn't he?
Mm.
So I just need Cole Palmer's 2 points tonight at Crystal Palace to confirm. And unlike this time last week where I said, Phil Foden won't get 12 and I probably won't be beating you this week, and he did. I can't beat you this week because we've both only got Palmer left tonight.
Yeah, but Palmer could drag our ranks back a little bit, but probably not. He'd need about a 60-pointer to
be honest, it could get worse tonight, right? Because there will be people
with Gustos and stuff
like that, yeah.
I agree. I made my two transfers reasonably early. I sold Porro and Diaby for Foden and Doughty. Foden and Doughty, no returns, but still net 2 points up on the transfer because Porro got a 2-pointer and Diaby for Villa managed to get himself booked after coming on as a sub. So it was a 0-pointer. So ended up being a net positive on the transfers that I made. But yeah, overall, the only thing I had on top of you, like I said, was an assist for Kieran Trippier, whose BPS disappeared. Who knows what's going on with that? I had Gabriel first sub.
Darwin Nunes had one bonus point appear as well.
Oh, fair play. Yeah. I had Gabriel first sub, which was a little bit painful, but I don't see how I would have made a different decision on that.
Nah, to be honest, for me, it was always it's not the first time I've benched him this year and he's returned points. I benched him at home to Brighton when he kept a clean sheet. I benched him for his 10-pointer at Liverpool. I did at least have the 17-pointer against Crystal Palace. But basically, three of the last four times he's returned in games, he's been sat on my bench.
I've had him
all season.
How many doubles are you going into this week with?
Well, we don't know yet. So okay. The intention was to roll going into this week. I have three City.
Me
I have
too.
Foden, Alvarez, Haaland.
Snap.
I have Doughty now.
Snap.
I have Trent and Jota.
So we're both on exactly the same six.
Now, Trent, we can all see the yellow flag at the moment.
Well, he came off at half-time, didn't he?
Yeah. Interesting quotes from Klopp. I think a lot of seem to have read between the lines saying he's probably going to be out. I don't know if that's quite the case at the moment. Klopp did say it was the same knee that would obviously kept him out for a couple of weeks, a short period ago. And therefore, they'd obviously tread carefully. Now, what I would say is if he were planning to get, I definitely wouldn't bother. But obviously, if he's going to be available for any part of it, I don't think it's worth me taking him out.
No.
He's a player that was definitely sending in 26. However, if he's ruled out, there's a few options available to me. One is nothing. Suck it up and just go, right, I'm going to play Leon Bailey or Cole Palmer instead with a single game week. Or I sell him for a defender. Part of my plan actually had been to go to Diogo Dalo in 26 or another Arsenal defender. Yes, ironically. Or I could go with, say, a Brentford defender. And it's looking at that that's quite interesting then, because if I sell Trent, whatever I do, I'm putting money in the bank, right? And I've got 2 million sitting there. I'll ask you this, Serge. What do you think of this as a minus 8?
For this week?
Yeah, possibly.
Go on.
Alvarez to Nunes. Palmer to De Bruyne. Trent to a Brentford defender. And the reason Brentford defender, yes, sure, double. But 26 obviously covers, unlike, Liverpool, like Conor Bradley if Trent is out, for example. And obviously fixture in 29. So it's almost saving me a transfer down the line.
I don't mind it.
Feels like a minus 8 for De Bruyne though, doesn't it?
Yeah, basically. Very much so. It's all about De Bruyne over Alvarez, and I don't see enough of a guarantee on that being a good move. Do you know what? When you said to me, how's this for a minus 8? The first name that I thought was going to come out of your mouth, or the end goal that was going to come out of your mouth, was going to be to get Salah in somehow. I thought you were going to try and shoehorn Salah into midfield for someone.
I don't think he's going to play enough minutes for it to be worthwhile.
Yeah, it's not definitely
I
not
certainly
my radar.
Wouldn't captain him.
100% not on my radar.
My plan this week will be to triple captain Haaland.
Boring. To be honest with you,
the only thing that will change that for me is if there's word on Saturday morning that he's not in the starting lineup. In which case, I might even still captain him. When it's a double, just wouldn't be triple captain. But
his EO is going to be off the scale this week.
It will be massive. Because I think even if Salah is back, I don't think many people are going to go down that way and captain. He's going to be the obvious captaincy for many. Someone like Trent would have been a good differential. Can you go Jota, Nunes, Foden, De Bruyne? Of course you can. It's obviously going to be massive on Haaland. From the triple captaincy perspective, I think a few will wait for Solanke in 28.
Yeah, that's the only other temptation is like just go swing against it and go with Solanke just for a bit of fun.
We now obviously know that fixture with Luton will happen in game week 28. And there will be plenty of people bench boosting this week, I think. There'll be a few wild cards knocking about. There'll be a few free hits knocking about. But most of the others, it'll be triple captaincy. I think the majority of people will be using the chip somewhere this week. And the majority of that, I think, will be triple captaincy on Haaland, especially after the 2 goals at the weekend. I could see that narrative building if he'd not scored at the weekend. Well, he's done nothing since he's been back. He doesn't need to do a lot, does he?
No, this exactly that. Let's talk about the games, and that's a good segue into it, James, and see who is and isn't of interest, because it's quite a narrow field from an FPL point of view right now. Manchester City 2, Everton 0 in the end.
In the end. Following some surprising, obvious team news. So De Bruyne being the biggest one of all to suddenly miss out and obviously not being... I say suddenly. Most of us had the information pre-deadline. Vardiol didn't start. Kyle Walker didn't start. Kyle Walker has a direct correlation impact, I think, on Phil Foden at the moment as well, which is worth noting. But Walker will play the majority of the games. I think in terms of the rotation here, let's remember that City got a Champions League game this Tuesday. And what I think is important about the game at Copenhagen is the second leg falls in between a home game with Manchester United and the away game at Liverpool between 27 and 28. If they can get that finished tomorrow night, then he can obviously do what he wants, Pep, with the second leg. And I think that's possibly what he's thinking. So De Bruyne being rested doesn't necessarily mean, he's going to be rested more often. It might have been, let's save some legs for Tuesday. However, Pep also did say that he had clarity that he wanted De Bruyne on the pitch towards the end of the game, where he thought there would be more space for him, a la the second goal, right? That there where the ball comes into him and Haaland's obviously just trying to drag Brantway out of position. You almost feel at that moment City are scoring. That's mad when you're 78 yards from goal and you've got those two players.
It's that good.
Yeah. And Haaland was very quiet. We must give Everton huge credit because City never had a shot on target till Haaland's first goal. The only other shot they had before injury time of the second half was Haaland's second goal. So Everton defended exceptionally well. Good protection in front of the back four with Gay and Garner. Tarkowski and Branthwaite were both great. I know Branthwaite gets done over on the second goal, but it was absolutely great. He's going to go right to the top, I think. But City kept plugging away, and Everton's big problem was, although they defended very well, in the moments that they got the ball, they could cause little damage to City in terms of transition and playing through them. So, yeah, straightforward victory. I think, were I free hitting this week, I think it would be Haaland, Foden, De Bruyne for me.
Yeah, they're the best three, budget allowing. But I think most people will be able to afford whatever they want if they're going to free hit this week.
Them defensive ones is a headache, isn't it?
Yeah, too much of a headache for me to want to go into. I just wouldn't even go near it. I'd almost rather go Rodri if you... But why would you?
I've said this a few times. I don't hate that.
Yeah, I just feel like if budget's a real problem and he's the only one you can get to, but I don't see why it would be for anybody, to be honest with you, especially if you're not going to go with Salah.
You got Alvarez?
Yes. Not moving it on, leaving it be.
I'll make a decision after tomorrow night. I mean, I've mentioned this minor say. I'll be honest, it's probably unlikely for me because I just think flipping Alvarez and De Bruyne, is it worth doing that? Could easily be that Alvarez plays twice again, doesn't it? Even if he doesn't start tomorrow.
Exactly.
Night.
That's why. And he can outscore Haaland in any given game as well, and has done this season.
He's a Saturday, Tuesday turnaround again.
Yeah, I'm not moving any of the three that I've got. I'm going to leave it be with them.
What won't happen a lot is Matías Núñez playing that much.
Yeah, that's true.
Looks like fish out of water every time he plays for City. Mm. The setup really, I felt, in my opinion, didn't work. Like, Doku skinned Godfrey so many times, particularly in the first half. His delivery and his final win product was pretty poor, to be honest. And for as much as I said City dominated with the ball, didn't overly like scoring for long periods. I think it got to the point where when De Bruyne came on with sort of circa half hour to go, I imagine City fans were a bit concerned at that point because they weren't creating oceans of the ball. I thought it was interesting that Akanji essentially moved into midfield to join Rodri rather than Stones.
Yeah.
I would have much preferred that the other way round. Think again, that's just not of the quality level for City when Akanji moves into that area in midfield. The thing is, the whole squad's fit, so you know what you're getting with them. Payne, right? Everton, just briefly, I don't suppose anyone's looking at them for FPL at the moment, although Branthwaite can certainly offer you an enabling opportunity. Palace is a big game Monday night because the fixtures afterwards aren't good either. Palace are obviously in bad state. Everton need to win that Monday night, really.
Agreed.
I think they will, by the way.
Should we talk about Fulham 3, Bournemouth 1? I think we both called this a draw, didn't we?
No, I backed Bournemouth.
Oh,
to
you
win,
backed
actually,
Bournouth. I had it down as a draw.
The shot count in the game suggests that maybe they should have. They were a little bit unfortunate, particularly as well, actually, that obviously Marcus Senesi scored, and straight afterwards, Rodrigo Muniz obviously got his second of the game. On Muniz, I've mentioned him a lot this season as a player to keep an eye on. I think he's 4.4 still at
it's
the moment.
Cheap as chips.
Don't go there.
You think he's too injury prone?
I don't think he's injury prone. I think there's two very simple things to think about with this. One, look, he's obviously scored last week and he scored two here. So does he play the next game? Yeah, he probably does. But Breyer's not gone there on loan not to play. And there's every chance Jimenez, we've got a bit of a timeline now of basically a month, he might be back for 29. And the reality is, if you're looking at it, you're looking at it for 29 at the moment, rather than necessarily looking at it for money. You might be looking at it this week. Say it does become a scenario where it's like, shit, get Salah in. Then this sort of player comes onto your radar. I think avoid it is my point.
Okay.
So sure, he scored 3-2, but I just think there's too much threat there. And when you're buying players like this at the moment, if you're heading to Wolves game with 29, you don't want to be carrying something like that.
No, agreed.
Is he going to get you a one-pointer in 29 and come off the bench? Yeah, probably. But that's probably what it will be in 29. The 26 fixture doesn't look as good as it might have a couple of weeks ago. Obviously, they go to Manchester United. So I think Fulham probably not quite on radar at the moment. Although the fixture run as an overall isn't terrible. It was a surprise return for Issa Diop. We thought would be out a little bit longer. I don't know if that was forced by tossing Adebayo being out. And interestingly, I'm actually going to do a bit of Eddie Howe defending here, if I may, Suj.
Go on.
On Anthony Gordon's surprise inclusion for Newcastle on Saturday at Nottingham Forest, which had everyone up in arms. And I get that. Eddie Howe didn't actually rule Anthony Gordon out of the game.
Did he not?
No.
Okay, what did he say? He needs a fitness test?
He said, hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later.
Okay. Vague.
Which is, yeah. But then it was the journalist that reported that he was out. It was the journalist that were there that said he's out. Now, we don't know if off camera Eddie Howe might have said, oh, he was out. But what he actually said on camera, he did not say that Anthony Gordon was definitely out. Similarly, and the reason I bring this up now is Marco Silva didn't mention, and because it's FPL relevant, no one mentions it, didn't say that Tosin Adebayo hadn't trained all week in his presser. So it's not often I'd defend Eddie Howe, but, and I do think he's being cheeky, but I also think the journalists have read that wrong.
Yeah, they have.
We should be aware of that. That's why sometimes this happens a lot with Pep. When Pep speaks in pressers, it's really worth watching what he says rather than just picking up the quotes that can be taken out of context. So, not that I think you're going to go and watch Marco Silva pressers too often. So Diop being back is good time with that in mind. They also get Bassi and Iwobi back from AFCON. Obviously, Nigeria lost to Ivory Coast last night. Congratulations to Ivory Coast on winning AFCON. So that'll be a boost to them as well. Iwobi gives them an extra bit of dynamism up front. They've had Harry Wilson and Adama Traore back in the squad at the weekend. So in a position now, other than Adebayo, whole squad near enough fit, bar Kenny Tete.
Yeah, they're comfy now. They're just about sitting behind Chelsea.
Yeah, do you know what I do note with them? Their home record's good. They average over 1.5 points per game at home. They've got quite a few tough sort of home games to go. The City still need to go there, Liverpool, Tottenham, Villa. So there might be that's partly because of that. But that's good, over sort of 1.5 points per game at home. That's better than a few others.
Yeah.
On Bournemouth, Solanke was obviously very quiet against Forest. Did assist the goal. His underlying numbers were much better at the weekend.
There is going to be a big movement towards him. More likely 27-28, right? Rather than in the next couple.
Well, now that double's coming in 28, yeah. And actually, the point on Haaland that I think is quite important to raise at this juncture as well. Let me give you an example, Suj. Let's say you're running through to game with 29 and you've got Watkins,
Alvarez.
No, Haaland. Bad example. Watkins, Haaland, and Adebayo.
Okay.
As an example, right? And you get to game with 28. Now, at that point, you're not selling Adebayo, are you? Because he's got a double himself.
Yeah.
If you're heading towards 29, you're not selling Watkins.
No.
So you're selling the big man?
Well, for me, I'm going to sell Alvarez.
There's a major problem with selling the big man at the moment. I know it's been a bit of gripe within the community. Is Haaland's now up to 14.4.
Yeah, hey, getting him back is going to be a problem.
Well, it's not just that, is it? Because a lot of people will end up selling, right? Even if just for 29, whether it's for 28, whatever. Quite clearly, there's something being manipulated or part of FPL's algorithm where because his ownership is so high, obviously the sales aren't hitting his value. Whereas when people are suddenly buying him back, and a lot of people will in game week 30, then obviously he's flying up in price again. So it's not inconceivable that you'd sell in 28 and then come game week 30, you're going into 30 and he's like 14.5, 14.6 and you're losing little bits. Now, a lot of people might be able to stomach that, but it's something certainly to bear in mind, to be careful of your front three going into 28. So what I'd like to do, Suj, at that point, with what I've got at the moment, is possibly now getting Solanke for Alvarez for me. So he's already in place.
Yeah, I'm probably
27. But 27 if I made the Nunes move, I'd just go 26. I think. Okay. But it's Alvarez to Solanke 27. Then I'm going in with Solanke, Watkins, Haaland into 28, and that's just my three that's carrying through. So I'm not selling him.
Agreed. That's where I'm at. 27.
That's my idea. And then in 29, if Bournemouth don't play, then it's Solanke to Tony.
Right.
Obviously, if Solanke ends up playing in 29 as well, then there's a decision to make because I'll certainly want Tony in 29, but not desperate to get him earlier. Just something to think about in terms of your layout and potentially the need, and it might be a need, to move Haaland and what that might mean for you value-wise coming into game week 30. And you wouldn't necessarily have to have him for game week 30, right? City have Arsenal at home, but you know me, don't like to argue with him in home games. I think that team, just briefly on Bournemouth, because this is relevant now, because people are going to have their eyes on them coming into the double. I think that team is probably their strongest that they picked. I think that's
fit, because obviously you maybe say Jimenez might get into a fully
the Bournemouth team.
Bournemouth team.
I think that's their strongest team. I said last week I thought Tavernier and Scott didn't play on the Sunday just because of the close proximity of Thursday, Sunday, and they're two players that are quite injury prone. Remember as well in 28, you've got like a Saturday to Wednesday, so it's a little bit better. Tavernier and Scott might be risky in terms of playing twice in the double, but remember as well, in Bournemouth's case, they might not even have a game the following weekend. And I think that's quite important. I think Tavernier and Scott are really worth keeping an eye on.
I think I might punt Tavernier.
And I think...
I think my heart's set almost on... He's 5.6
well,
right now.
If they end up playing in 29, like I know a lot of people thinking sort of like Barkley and their plans moving forward, which is perfectly reasonable. But I think if Bournemouth were to play in 29 as well, because that 28 double's so good, yeah, I'd want a piece of Tavernier or Scott possibly to go with Solanke.
I think I'm going to go into the double with definitely Solanke and Tavernier.
The defensive guys, the fullbacks are a little dangerous. Aarons might impact on Smith. Kirkes might impact on Kelly, but Kelly looks like he's got favouritism at the moment. Senesi is obviously getting more attacking returns than Zabani at the moment. So when it comes around, Senesi is the one that will be more popular defensively. Neto will obviously get a little bit of interest in goal as well. It's worth saying their next two is obviously Newcastle away this week and then City at home. So that doesn't feel right to be going into Solanke. But take, for example, me. If I did end up with Nunes this week, and I've already moved Trent, going Nunes to Solanke in 26 makes complete sense. One, I wouldn't have any City defensive coverage, so it's not conflicting. And two, you know Solanke is getting steamed into for 27, so you're ahead of the value rise.
Agreed. Let's talk about Liverpool 3, Burnley 1. Another defeat for Burnley.
Their chances, though.
Yeah, and we've said that numerous times with Burnley this season, though. They had chances, but they don't seem to be able to score enough. And look, it's Anfield. I think this is one of the most foregone games this season.
Liverpool
just the ruthless.
Fofana had a good chance at 2-1.
Yeah, I mean, we're both on the same pair from Liverpool. Trent, and Jota. You're looking at Nunes as an addition. I think... because of the way my setup is, I don't think I'd want to add another. I know you're talking about adding Nunes in place of Alvarez, so it's a doubler for a doubler. But then it's just the problem for next week, really, isn't it? You'd add a single game week player for next week.
Yeah, look, when you're steaming into Liverpool, you need to be aware of the 26 blanks. Yeah,
I just rather not have it as a problem, so I'm going to leave it be. And I don't want to sell Cole Palmer. I know you talked about it earlier, but I want to keep the value that I've got in him.
Yeah, get that. I've not had as long as for others, but I also feel he's not going to be huge use for me. Cole Palmer, looking forward at the future weeks. He's probably a blank in 29 as well, isn't it?
Yep.
It's Newcastle at home, and what's the other Chelsea game? It's obviously, I don't intend to
play
City this week.
Oh,
yeah,
so
who have
City?
They got in 27?
I can find out for you.
If you could, Suj. Anyway, we'll come back to that.
Yes, Liverpool for now.
Quansa obviously played at the weekend, centre-back. That's an avoid. Robertson, I think, I know a lot of people might be tempted to go Trent to Robertson. I don't hate it, but whether Robertson would play Saturday, Wednesday, and then the cup final Sunday has got to be doubtful. Joe Gomez obviously done really well at left-back. Joe Gomez can also cover at centre-back. I do think Konate will probably play twice. That minus eight, by the way, I can't get Konate. I could get Connor Bradley, which I guess appeals if Trent's unavailable. But it is literally going to be just for 1 week for me. I'm not sure I want to go down that route. I could just go Trent to Van Dijk as a 1-3 transfer. That's something I'd possibly consider. Or like you said, just go, yeah, that's a bit complicated now. I'm just going to go into the week with Jota and...
It'll be what it'll be.
Yeah, I don't... McAllister played a little bit more an advanced role, but I'm not overly keen on that. Curtis Jones, every chance of getting rotated. You can always get someone like Harvey Elliott ends up with minutes. I think it's easy to overlook Gakpo. And obviously, if Salah is back, it just complicates things. Like, actually, ironically,
agreed.
If Salah is back, I'm almost definitely not going towards Nunes.
Yep.
And it wasn't a plan to get Nunes. It's just purely if I sell Trent, and I've got the money spare, that I can work KDB in. But it's going to be effective minus eight. Just to bring KDB in. But I think I've got to think, am I chasing a bad week? But also, I've seen these hits work for people in double game weeks.
Yeah, it's just that they've got so much...
And I'd rather be sitting with KDB than Alvarez.
They've got so many options there. I just think the minutes risk... You have no idea. If there was a few injuries, you'd feel maybe confident going into one or two. But they're all available, James. This is the problem. Bar Salah, but he will be partially available for sure. Definitely for the second game in the double. So, yeah.
But we don't know.
Possibly, maybe.
The word that Klopp said on Friday was he said Salah be back in partial training. Partial bits of training. Now, with the games coming up, I wouldn't be surprised if they're just targeting getting him ready for the cup final, you know. Maybe even a sub appearance with Luton's getting ready for the cup final. You will see the Liverpool team Saturday, and if suddenly it gets leaked that he's in it, then people are going to be very tempted to chop stuff up, aren't they? I could make it work to get him in, but I'm not really interested in doing that.
I don't think so either. I think it's too much of a rush.
Gomez and Alisson obviously missed out due to illness. I'm sure they'll be available. Just a couple of notes on Burnley. This might be relevant further down the line. Asignon obviously looks like he's got favouritism at right back, who's coming on loan 4.0. And Esteve, who played left-sided centre-back, is also 4.0. I suspect he's probably going to get favouritism now as well. So there's a couple of enablers further down the line, perhaps, for Burnley that might be of interest. That moment is not for now, especially with Arsenal turning up this weekend.
Luton 1, Sheffield United 3, probably... the surprise result of the weekend, to be honest.
Probably
with you.
Is, yeah.
And the way in which they just steamed into a lead and seemed to deserve it and dominate, and a bit of a shock maybe back down to reality for Luton.
They create good chances. They could have got more than the three that they got, Sheffield United.
What happened? Complacency from Luton?
We discussed this on, because Dan and Tomo came on COTC last week, and we touched on, I spoke about this a bit on Friday as well on the Patreon pod, the change of expectation. This is the first time they would have gone to a home game this season and really expecting to win.
Yeah.
It's not that fans can't go with confidence, but almost like a you've got to. I said even when they played Burnley in game week 7, at that point, most of us thought Burnley would go there and win. And at the time, Burnley did. Now, because of how well they've been playing, 4 against Newcastle, 4 against Brighton, and obviously Sheffield United's performance against Villa last week, you think, well, they could steamroll them. And that's why I got Doughty in. Nine key chances created by Doughty. The most in a Premier League game this season.
Yeah, for, doesn't surprise
for
me.
For any player.
Yeah, he really is a crossing machine.
Yes, and a lot of that is obviously through crossing. But no points on it. And you do look at it this week, now that Sheffield United's gone, and think, I don't think there's a clean sheet in there.
So an attacking return at any given time.
Say you've got the Trent problem now and you've not got Doughty, would you consider going Doughty?
Yes, only because there's another double in a few game weeks, James.
Yeah, I know.
So it does make it quite straightforward. Also, he's going up in value. I don't know what he is now. I got him at 4 or 5. What did you pick him up at?
4 or 6, I think.
So he hasn't gone up a second time last week. He will again. I have no doubt about it. Yeah, he's still sitting at 4-6. Yeah. You're not going to lose value in Doughty,
no,
for
but
sure.
He's also a headache for you for 26, subject to what else you've got, right?
Double-double, basically. I'd go to Doughty, but
I think if you're sitting there with the likes of Palmer, Porro, with Liverpool players, and you want to hold them through, I think it's probably a don't go there. It's a tough double, isn't it? United have kind of found themselves a little bit, and then going to Liverpool is... Say it's a bonus, it's not, is it?
Yeah. It's just whatever. I mean, these are the games, though, that Luton can just swing.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets an assist in the game week.
Yeah, yeah.
But is it going to be enough worth getting him?
Probably not.
No. In terms of the lineup, despite losing, I think, again, that's probably their strongest current lineup. This with Clark and Morris playing behind Adebayo is happening quite a lot. Adebayo feels almost a more reasonable one to get. Like he's another return at the weekend. Ted and Mengi was a sub. He's 3.9. I think he'll come back in for Burke, and I think he would be worth getting rather than Amari Bell. Bell doesn't even go up for the corners. For those who've got Kabore, you're on a wing and a prayer, because Ogbene's been playing quite well at right wing back, so I wouldn't expect him to come back in for those fixtures unless, as Dan had said, unless he wanted to move Ogbene into the front three. Don't see it. The new signing, they got Hashikoa, I think I pronounced that correct. It was 4.0. Edwards said that he wouldn't use him yet, so probably wouldn't in the double. So look, will Kabore get some minutes in the double? Yeah, sure. I don't think he's going to start. You're probably looking at it being 2 points, i.e. 1 point as most likely. You might deem that enough. Shout out to Edwards as well, by the way. Loved his answer to the question he got on the Sheffield United penalty. Because there were two controversial handballs given in the game. Edwards was asked what he thought of the Sheffield United penalty, and he said, listen, let's talk about the penalty we got as well. Don't think either of them are penalties. So fair game. He didn't need to say that. He could have just come out and said, no, I don't think it was. But he said, no, I don't think ours was either. For Sheffield United, great result. Mason Holgate's now played in the game of football this year that he's not lost 5-0. They lost Reece Norrington-Davis, left wing back, 5 minutes into the game. Max Lowe came on. There was a few surprise selections in the lineup. Ben Osborne was one, perhaps the biggest one being Cameron Archer as well. He did mean a slightly more advanced role for James McAtee. We mentioned regularly on the pod and obviously took the penalty as well. Now, I would suggest McBurney is probably first choice penalty taker.
Well, that's what happened against us.
But further down the line, he's 4.4. I think he's the best one. At that real, real low. We know Garnacho, Barkley, maybe even the Bournemouth lads a little bit more. But if you need to come right down to that 4.5, I think he's the best one to go for. I imagine Grubic will come back in goal. Missed out again because of concussion at the weekend. Essentially, I didn't see a lot of the game, but Tomo was quite at pains to say, I mean, he thought they'd get smashed again, in fairness.
Yeah.
So basically, Wilder got his tactics right this time when they got it obviously badly wrong against Aston Villa. So was a back three again, essentially. They've got a few different options. I know a lot of Sheffield United fans were full of praise of Vinicius Souza, who took his goal very, very well. For Luton, Adebayo, Barkley, and I think Doughty / Mengi, subject to where you are on value, would be the best ones across the board. If you want to go Kaminski, it's obviously a reasonable one. The beauty with going the keeper is it's an extra player who blanks that you can bench in 26 if you get him for a Dubravka to sit with an Areola, example. Yeah. So, yeah, I think for Luton, Kaminski, Mengi, Doughty, Barkley, Adebayo are the ones I'd consider. Even though Morris would be on the pens, I know he scored again, I'd go Adebayo over Morris, I think, at the moment. I think it's more chance of Morris missing a game.
I agree with you. And Sheffield United is the hunting ground for cheap bargains, really. 4.4 McAtee, 4.3 Archer. It's really, if you've got no money, that's where you kind of end up.
I mean, he took his goal really well, but he missed an absolute sitter before that.
Yeah.
Osula can obviously come into the team. McBurney can come into the team. Ben Brereton-Diaz missed out, tight hamstring. And interestingly, he was at Nottingham Forest on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite interesting. Aren't Sheffield United trying to chase Nottingham Forest?
I have no idea, James.
I don't know how that would have gone down. Anyway.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Spurs 2, Brighton 1.
Can you Spurs?
Stay till the end.
Yes, Serge.
Good, good.
Listen, my games have last minute goals in them every week, so of course I stay till the end.
You need to, yeah. Can't guarantee which way, but this time it was in favour of you. And you come away with a 2-1 win.
It's the third injury time winner in home games this year. And when I say injury time, that was
plus.
96.
Yeah, yeah.
Matic's own goal plus. Was similar. And Kulusevski was, 100 against Sheffield United?
That's
so, I mean,
crazy.
They really are late.
Yeah, you definitely can't argue with your season ticket price. You're getting your money's worth, James.
Finally, after the last few years. And what a goal that second goal is. Which, when you break it down, kind of epitomises how this game went. Because Tottenham play out from the back, Zubonadu. And Madison drops deep. And if you watch it back, the player that's following him is Jan-Paul van Hek, who's the right-sided centre-back for Brighton. They played a back four at the weekend. After the ball goes into Madison, van Hek gets drawn because Richarlison's dropped short into a zone similar with Son. Obviously, Richarlison stayed as the nine. Who's following Richarlison? It's Lewis Dunk, the other centre-back. Van Heck very briefly gets drawn towards Richarlison rather than to the ball to Maddison. By the time he's going back, Maddison's thread the ball into Richarlison, and now suddenly Tottenham have got a 4-on-3 running at Brighton's backline. But not only is it a 4-versus-3, it's a 4-versus-3 and none of Brighton's three are any of their centre-backs. That late in the game at 1-1, and that's not a criticism of Brighton, because a lot of what they did man-to-man in the game worked really well. There was a moment in the first half, Serge, and I kid you not this happened, where Tottenham had the ball and Brighton's most advanced player was Van Heck.
Mad.
Because he's gone to Maddison. His job was getting to Maddison all the time, go so man-to-man. And two of Tottenham's furthest forward players, Bentancur disappeared from the sixth position and Porro disappeared from right back to go and play up with Richarlison. And the two players that went back with those two players, respectively, were Mitoma and Welbeck. They looked like holding midfield players in that moment. That's not to say those two players weren't a threat. Welbeck very nearly scored in the game. Mitoma, oh back my
with a bang from
God,
Japan.
Suj. He made me laugh at one point. He had a point in the second half where he done Porro inside out and Van de Ven came across. And you know when Van de Ven comes across, you think, oh, you're done, mate, because he's so quick and stuff. He see him coming, waited for him to come, and just went, boop, through his legs, gone.
And skinned him.
Oh, my days. If Tottenham just bought Mitoma in the summer and used all their budget on that,
you'd be happy.
I can't think. I've said this a few times. People say, oh, who'd be perfect for Ange's system? Get me Karo Mitoma. What a play. Considering he ain't played in the Premier League for like
but
2 months
been ages.
As well.
He's been out, yeah.
And off the ball, he tracked Porro all through the game. So I know there's a lot of, oh, Porro's expected goal involvement was shit at the weekend. A lot of that is because Mitoma's going and following him and doing brilliant defensive work as well. So I thought he was excellent. His first touch is good. When he runs at you, he's got this kind of almost, I don't want to say language style about him, but he's in control. And it's like he can flick a switch and he's gone at so much speed.
Yeah, he's rapid. Whoa, they have a very good run for the next four. Sheffield United, Everton, Fulham, Forest. I don't know how many will and won't look at them because they haven't got, obviously, a double in there. So you're prioritising maybe the likes of Bournemouth or a second Luton over the likes of Brighton. But they do play in 26. Obviously, that it's not one of the four blanking teams. And maybe they will get people through. The Game Week 29 fixture, you've got to assume, is probably not going to happen.
Right? It's Sheffield United away, Everton at home. But guess what? Those fixtures might be a problem for them.
Low blocks. Yeah, low blocks.
Now, they did win 5-2 at Sheffield United in the Cup very recently. But that also means Sheffield United have had an opportunity to look at them. That said, system-wise, probably going to be different because they played a back three recently and they moved to a back four. So Tariq Lamptey played right back. Stupinan played left back. Joel Veltman's fit, so that gives them another option at right back as well. Jack Hinshelwood, De Zerbi's assistant manager, said that he wasn't wrist. There have been some reports that it could be a bad injury, and he's been really good for them, Jack Hinshelwood. I also think they've left themselves a little bit light in midfield. Like, I think it's clear that Gross and Gilmour are the best two for them. Some of Gilmour's distribution, by the way, between lines, really, really good. Gross was his normal creative menace and obviously took the pens with João Pedro injured. So I see a lot of people saying, oh, bench Gross again. Actually, other than the pen, there wasn't too much creativity from him in the game. But he'll probably be on them while João Pedro's out injured. But I worry about the depth again for them there once the European games start up, which is obviously between 27 and 28. I think you're right, Serge. I think they'll largely be ignored because they don't have any doubles coming up. And the 29 fixture is obviously the least likely, basically, of all the games to happen because they're due to play Manchester City, right?
Exactly, yeah. And so, Spurs, same thing. No bye territory because of the blank next week.
No, but the difference with Tottenham is, obviously,
they do play,
in 29.
To buy blank, after 26 though.
Blank for Richarlison. Didn't really, was working off scraps in the second half. He did a lot of coming towards the ball, allowed that second goal to try and create space for others. Look, the equalising goal, Sarr tries to find him and he'd have a tap in if it goes to him. Sarr obviously ends up scoring. Played fine. I think Son being back had more of an impact on Werner. This was Werner's poorest game for Tottenham so far. So I feel like that's the easiest change next week, will be Son in for Werner rather than Son in for Richarlison. Not that Werner was terrible, by the way. Just actually, he'd done really well in his first few. Was a bit quieter in this one. I think going against Lamptey, he was like, I'm not doing this kid for pace because he's rapid, isn't he? So, yeah, please. I think a draw probably would have been a fair result. Could have gone either way. Brighton were a better team in the first half. The first 20, 25 minutes of the second half, we were exceptional. And actually, Ange made a substitution that did my nutting. Because in the first 15 minutes of the second half, Kulusevski had his stooping hand on strings. He had him all over the place. We turned him inside out. Kulusevski has this sometimes. I don't know why it happens. But you can have these really quiet first halves. You think, he's not in it. And the second half starts, bang, he's on it. And it's like he's not just running at people and he's crossing. It's like he's running a football match from out wide. Suddenly, he was having his best period for us in ages. We equalised and Ange took him off. And I was not happy at all. And it impacted the team negatively, quite badly for a little while, that it took us a while to recover. And we went from a control phase where it looked like Brighton were then going to win the game. Now, of course, who replaced Deki? Brennan Johnson. We lost our control. What's the one thing I've been really praising of Brennan Johnson, though?
Oh, his work rate.
Not so much that. It's his finishing.
Yeah.
The one thing I do like about him, and I've said this, I can't think that he's had many big chances for Tottenham and missed. He's just not really been having them. That there, where it comes across the box, it looks easy, but watch back, and it's the same for the Brentford goal, which is very similar a couple of weeks ago. His timing and his execution of the run and his calmness when he gets there, he's like, he's cold, he's a killer. Really good in terms of his finishing. There's not a lot else I like about his play at the moment, but give him the chance in front of goal, it looks like he'll finish. That in itself will at points make him a good fantasy asset, I think, at points in the future. That moment is not now.
Nah. Wolves 0, Brentford 2. By all intents and purposes, this is a smash and grab on paper, mate. 71% possession for Wolves, 17 shots, 5 shots on target, but half the XG of Brentford, and Brentford still come away with more shots on target despite 29% of the ball and 2-0 victory as well. Yeah. Wolves are going to be a bit upset.
Gary O'Neill said that if he'd been told before the game that he knew Brentford was going to win, he said it would have been exactly like that.
Yeah.
He wasn't shy about calling them out for their time wasting and stuff like that. The dark arts, if you will. They're good at it, Brentford.
Yeah.
I saw it firsthand a couple of weeks ago. Like, they're almost the worst team to go behind against.
Yeah.
Obviously, going behind against City is worse, but I think you get what I'm saying. They are a nightmare because they're really good at just making the game difficult for you. Although, like I said, it's the kind of reverse one where, like, City kill you where they quieten the crowd. Brentford almost get the crowd pumped because they annoy the crowd
so much.
But they've ended up, obviously, winning this fairly comfortably in the end. Wolves, obviously, not helped by losing Cunha, who's been in fantastic form. Hamstring injury, so you'd have to presume that he's going to be out for a while. And Hwang missed this weekend, whereas Son was back. Wolves couldn't use Hwang. I don't know if the intention was to start him, but apparently after training on Friday, he went to the physios and complained of a bit of a calf issue, and they said, no, we're not taking a risk with you this
week.
Hopefully
he'll be back next week, though.
Well, Neil said he thought he would be.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. But it was Cunha and Hwang playing well together.
Suddenly, he'll become interesting. Look, they're coming to my team at the weekend. It's obviously going to be a challenge. And Cunha's direct running will be a real big miss, actually, particularly against my team. But Sheffield United at home the week after, and you know there's people walking into that week and going to have players who've got blanks and going, right, who's best fixture? Wolves. So there'll be quite a bit of interest for 26. I'll obviously report on what I see over at the weekend, but you obviously can't compare Tottenham away and Sheffield United at home in terms of fixtures. I think I mentioned Tommy Doyle a little bit recently. Joao Gomez has started the last couple, so he's obviously going to be back in the team now. Ait Nouri, I think, is the most interesting one. If you want to look for a defender, maybe next week. Again, I'll get to see his position at the weekend, but I do think the two games will be very, very different. Neto, I think, by the way, might be a dangerous one to bench this week, because if anything's to go by with what they've done with him in some of their more difficult games recently, I think he'll play right through the middle. And that means that he'll be in a position to take advantage of the inevitable chances that Wolves will have, because everybody will have chances against my team, because everybody does. They won't want to give him the responsibility, I don't think, of tracking Udogie or Porro.
Yep.
So I think, like they did at Brighton, I think they'll play him right up front. It might be a difficult one to bench for those who've got this week. For Brentford,
Ivan Toney back on the score sheet again.
What a finish that is for the second goal. It's so understated, but you can easily hit it too much into the ground or blaze it over. Again, it a little bit like Johnson. He just kind of ice cold veins himself and just strokes it in.
Yeah. It's Liverpool City next too. So, and Solanke's higher priority for most people to get for the double.
But almost, if Toney didn't get an attack in return, you'd almost be surprised.
Yeah. Any game, any time with Ivan.
Absolutely. Yep. And he's obviously going to be really popular going into 29. It's worth saying, it's not just 25 that's tough for Brentford. It's the fixtures afterwards. It's like looking at things. Like I look at 28 and I think, what if I did get Toney as part of my plans? And then say I land at 28 and I've got like Toney, Watkins, Haaland up front. Now, I'm obviously going to want Toney at 29. I'm not selling him. But I'm also looking at Toney away to Arsenal. And I think, oh, how much do I want that. Like, their fixtures are tough right up to then. Now, he has historically proven that he can return in these fixtures. And Brentford historically have proven they can get results against some of the best teams in this league. West Ham away now looks a better fixture with respect in 26. And there's that makes me think about the defensive options. I think Reguilón, obviously having assisted at the weekend, and by virtue of being wing-back,
yep,
will be the attractive one at 4.4.
It's a good price, 4-4.
Yeah, and Mads Roslev is the same price. There is speculation, and we might get an update on this week. There is speculation that Aaron Hickey might have had a setback. Now, if he has, that means he probably stays in the team. Reguilón is more likely to stay in. And I'll tell you why. It's just purely because now that they're getting players back fit, he might, particularly say for a game like West Ham away, where they'll have a lot more of the ball, he might go 4-3-3. He might decide to go, well, I've got Vissa back, I'll put Vissa back in. Also, the expectation is that Bumo might be back in early March. Now, right, suddenly, if you've got Vissa, Bumo, Maupay, Lewis Potter, Toney, you've got options there. Yep. Whereas I feel like, because they've gone through this period of Joss, Toney and Maupay, they've kind of really been forced into this. Vissa will obviously be back next week. I imagine it will still be a back three for City and Liverpool, and they won't rush him in. But for West Ham, it might change. Then they could always use someone like Christopher Ajer, perhaps, at right back, if he's going to be available. So I think Reguilón over Roslev, yes. I also reflect, though, on Brentford had double game week, similar period this time last year, if you remember. And I reflect on my annoyance then, because I'd gone with Henry. Henry's obviously out for the season. But reflecting on my annoyance with that, I really like Rico Henry as a footballer. I've said that a number of times. And that he's been a big miss for Brentford this year. But the big reflection afterwards was, if you get to a double and you're going with a defensive player and they're like a Brentford or an Everton, you know they've got them big physical threats from set pieces, go with one of the centre-backs.
Do you think so?
Yeah. But the difference with this is Reguilón's on some of them set pieces.
Right. I would, in this situation, I'd still go Reguilón because he's got a bit more of a historical record with assists and getting forward and what have you. Rico Henry, whilst he gets forward, I don't know what his stats and numbers are like. It doesn't feel like
all fart, no often, poo. And I suspect Reguilón will be the same.
Yeah, but I think it feels like he's more offensive than Rico Henry in terms of his stats. But I couldn't tell you for sure. That's just a gut feel. I think. I know what you're saying, like a Ben Mee or whoever's going to be one of the centre-backs to go for. Pinnock.
His concentration is his biggest flaw.
Right.
He switches off positionally so bad.
Mm.
When obviously City played Brentford the other week, they'd obviously used Bernardo on the right, I think for control purposes. Foden played on the right at the weekend. I'm trying to think of which City players, if City want to get over the top of him, who would be the most City which player would be most beneficial if they want to play diagonals over the top of him. They might do it more in a home game than an away game, just because they want to play at a faster tempo than rather their control away from home. And I wonder if that means Foden will play on the right against Brentford, which makes him less interesting, but he can also damage Reguilón. And you've seen that even on Foden's second goal. in the game last Monday, where he's basically played on the left, but he was allowed to go where he wants. He runs inside Reguilón. That's a perfect example of Reguilón's concentration. He's so poor. He loses himself. But that doesn't particularly matter from fantasy. It might matter in terms of Brentford's clean sheet potential. So Maupay, I think, is an avoid. He's obviously done really well recently, actually, and he's dirt cheap. For this week, I think it'd be fine. But I think afterwards, like I said, when they change, it might be that Vissa's going to eat some of the minutes, certainly.
I agree.
And if Bumo's back, if you're looking for him to carry you to 29, Bumo might be back before that point as well. Yeah, you'd be a bit nervous about it, I think.
Okay. Nottingham Forest 2, Newcastle 3. They managed to get over the line in the end, did Newcastle. But Nottingham Forest, one thing that definitely stands out from since Nuno's taken over is goals, man. They scored another couple here again. Can't seem to keep them out of the other end. But of course, they've got players all coming back now from AFCON and what have you with Mangala and whatever else. So
the game wasn't as good as the scoreline might suggest.
No.
It was quite strange how it ended up 2-2 by halftime, actually. On Forest, I don't suppose anyone's particularly looking at the moment. Niakati came back in at right-sided centre-back. They'll benefit from having the players back from AFCON now. So Mangala, Bolly, Sangare, Aina. Mangala's gone.
Oh, is he gone?
Went to Lyon. Obviously, okay. Serge Aurier went to Galatasaray. But Bolly, Sangare and Aina will come back. Will obviously just boost them in terms of numbers. This front four, I think, is going to play the majority of the games. We're saying
it's stuck for a couple of games now, it feels like.
I really like the second goal. Great weight of pass from Gibbs White and brilliant run from Elanga, which exposed a weakness in Dan Burn. I'll come back onto him in a minute, Dan Burn. Please don't let me forget. Awoniyi playing through the middle, I think, will stick now as well. They might become of interest if they play in 29. The problem is, though, obviously, if Luton double in 28 and play Forest in 29, the focus is going to be so much on Luton. Yeah, if you get any Forest, it's going to be conflicting for you. But you might land there, particularly for free hitters. Like, you've seen what Sheffield United have done at Luton.
Yeah.
You know, someone like an Awoniyi in 29 is not going to be, not going to be a terrible punt, maybe. But what was more interesting on this was Newcastle. On Dan Burn, many of us thought that Livramento would obviously play at left back. We'd seen Ogbene really damage Burn, and Elanga had given Burn a lot of problem when the two teams met at St James's on Boxing Day as well. And I think people saw the team and it was, why is Burn playing again? And actually became quite apparent quite quickly why, actually. And it's to do with Kieran Trippier. And I don't know if this has been happening for a little while because I've not seen a huge amount of Newcastle games recently. But Kieran Trippier was giving it, on occasion, the Trent.
Right.
The moving into midfield. So at that point, you've obviously basically got a back three for Newcastle in build-up. We haven't seen too much of this. So obviously then Burn is a left-sided centre-back rather than Livramento as a left-sided centre-back.
Makes more sense.
It does.
As a back three, yeah.
It does, yeah. And I'm trying to wonder out why this might have happened or been happening or if it will continue. One is in terms of trips, does that make him a better or worse FPL asset? I'd argue worse because I think he can do less damage from central areas because his delivery from the right and the timing of his runs on the outside is so perfect. But he's obviously got an assist at the weekend, but it's from a set play.
Yeah.
Right? I was wondering why now, why have Newcastle decided to do it now? So it's possible protection because he's conceding too many goals, as seen against the Luton game. Perhaps his concern about him as well, getting isolated 1v1 in wide areas, and you're just set up is to protect him midfield a little bit better. And also it's got Bruno into more advanced areas. The goals largely probably ignore, actually, because I think he could have still got them two goals that he got at the weekend from a deeper role. The first is obviously from a set play. He's planned. He runs around the back. Eddie Howe teams have always been good in terms of their variation on set plays. And the second goal, he obviously anticipates something. Watch out for the Dan Burn block when you watch it back, by the way, which Livramento probably wouldn't have done. It possibly won Newcastle away the game. And he finishes well. Sells arguably should save it, but let's be honest, Matt Turner wouldn't have saved it anyway. So the fact he scored twice, I don't think is impacted by his position. But he certainly, he basically played more like a 10. So what they did when Trippier moved in, basically as a flat start, they had Guimaraes central, Longstaff to the right, Miley to the left. Miley sat a bit deeper off, played with Trippier. and Longstaff played in front, and then Gimenez kind of left half space, that kind of box shape that we've seen Liverpool and others use. And I wondered if it was part designed for them to learn how to play without him as well, as in Gimenez. He's on 9 yellows.
Right.
And they're light of players in that midfield area. And I wonder if it's part of that, to have, because he's such an influence, to have them to know what it will look like in terms of your build-up play without him. So I don't know if it will stick. And in terms of Gimenez, you're certainly not buying because he is on the 2 yellows. Gordon already mentioned earlier on, Eddie Howe didn't actually say that he was injured. I think we all read between the lines, he'll be back sooner rather than later. That was basically saying he was injured, but he didn't actually say it. And it was obviously reported incorrectly. Jacob Murphy got an injury in the warm-up, which I presume was after Eddie Howe had named Anthony Gordon in the team as well, where Howe said it basically made Murphy unusable. He also said after the game that Callum Wilson had a problem with his arm. He was holding his arm late on, but it felt like more of a muscle problem. Decent fixture for Newcastle again this week, Bournemouth at home. But then if you're looking at them, Arsenal away in 26 looks ugly. And they probably won't play in 29 either. So you're probably largely going to overlook Newcastle at the moment. Those who sold Gordon will be pretty annoyed, but you haven't missed much, ironically.
No. Luckily. Let's move to Sunday, James. West Ham 0, Arsenal 6.
I can't even laugh, right?
It was pretty painful. I mean, if you look at the first half an hour, you kind of feel like this is how you expect the game to have been. Arsenal dominate, West Ham dig in, and basically ride your luck. But that's the problem with situations like that. You blink 10 minutes and it's 4-0. And it's been about to happen for a while. I think that period from when Saliba scores to half time to go from nothing to 4-0 was it killed the game. Game was done and dusted. You don't even feel like it's trying to come back. Because there's games we've been 3-0 down against the likes of you. Mate, that early and come back.
The only thing you're doing...
But there was just no feeling that it doesn't matter what you do, there's no way of coming back.
Listen, at that point at half-time, that she's already seen your wife runs, mate. All you're trying to do in the second half is make sure she don't see everything else.
True.
Especially in the cold in February, right? Although it's been quite mild at the moment. Mate, not good, sorry.
No, not good. There's nothing to... I think that's the other thing with Arsenal, like, take Arsenal 6-0 with a pinch of salt on Arsenal's side. Like, they've battered a very, very bad West Ham side. I don't think it's going to be as easy week in, week out.
You're minus goal difference now. I mean, you've lost 9-0 over the last two, haven't you?
Yeah. It's been pretty bad. Goals are leaking left, right and centre. And your first choice centre-backs are back.
Yeah, that's, I mean, first choice been defense. Back, isn't he? So there isn't an excuse there,
that's
is
the first it? Choice defence. Obviously, prior to the goal, obviously, Trossard had the effort that Areola pulled off, an amazing save. And what's it like? All I was thinking up until I switched off at 1-0.
Why did you switch off at 1-0?
Because I knew what was happening. I knew what was going to happen.
I'll give it till 3-0, and then that's enough for me.
And then my son wanted to watch something on TV, and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Watch what you want to watch on TV, because this is going to be a nightmare. I would say that Areola has been hammer of the year so far. I think most West Ham fans would have to agree that Areola has been a hammer of the year, because the amount of times he saved us, and yet, you just mentioned, still a negative goal difference. Absolute void everywhere in that team. Even if you own assets, it's going to be very difficult to sell a Bowen or people that may have a Kudus. I'm grateful that my only West Ham asset is Thomas Souček, so he's basically bench fodder for me. But the first opportunity I get to move him on, if I can, I definitely will be. Like, he might be my make weight to get Marcus Tavernier, for example, in 26 or 27.
Are you referring to Souček?
Souček, yeah, exactly. Like, it's a 0.7 difference. I'll be able to find that much.
But you're not
somewhere.
Playing him much anyway, right? And he might be useful in 29.
No, but I think the upside of maybe a Tavernier over the double and the fixtures that they've got.
But then it's not a double. But if you get to 28, Bournemouth have got two fixtures, but it's in 1 week and then none. Whereas you've got Souček over 28 and 29.
Yeah, maybe. But I'll see how I'm feeling closer to the time. He's not going to return in any case, right? So West Ham particularly bad at the moment. A void is the only word you can use with them.
Okay.
Avoid.
This will be stubborn. And listen, if I could rewind and know that Arsenal was going to win 6-0, obviously I wouldn't have sold Saka and I would have sold Bowen instead. But
look, and we both benched Gabriel.
you might have noticed in terms of what I was thinking in terms of some transfer options. I'll tell you one that isn't an option for me right now, and it's selling Bowen. Those fixtures coming up, I'm sorry, are brilliant. Forest away, Brentford at home, Everton away, Burnley at home, Villa at home. He ain't going anywhere for me, Jared Bowen. Sorry.
I think we could lose all of them.
Yeah, but I think there's things that could
maybe
change.
Maybe I'm a bit in a negative mindset.
This with Johnson, I mean, he moved to the left and Kudos played on the right.
Why?
Well, because Kudos is better from the right than the left, isn't it?
Sure.
You're trying to get more out of Kudos.
It's like he's throwing a lot of shit at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Okay.
It's basically what he's doing.
Some of the shit that hits the wall and sticks might be better is Paqueta being back possibly next week, because you're just like, devoid of creativity without him. And he will make a difference, mate.
Of course he will.
And Antonio is back in training and probably won't start next week, but he'll every chance Brentford, I think, in 2 weeks, possibly will start. Now, that's going to mean a deeper role maybe for Bowen. But I don't think right or up front, I don't think it's had a huge impact on him. We've even seen him play up front and move to the right late in games and get returns from the right?
Yep.
I think Wolves at home is a good example of that, for example. So, now, Bowen's not going anywhere. And I told you before this week, my plan's actually to add Kudos in 26 as well. So this is what we
could
do.
You're a brave man.
I'm not saying I'm definitely going to do that, but I think in terms of timing-wise, if I'm heading towards 29, I might come back for it. They've got to be motivated to recover from that, right?
Oh, of course.
What happened after you lost 5-0 at Fulham?
We won. We beat Wolves, Man United. 3-0. Wolves, then Man United, and then Arsenal.
And 2 clean sheets, and then Arsenal. 3 clean sheets.
Yes. And Brighton was... Brighton was after that as well. No.
I think there's probably a question to ask of why that's now happened a couple of times where you've got absolutely slapped.
Mentality, James. It's not football ability. It's maybe, all mentality.
But then also, like I said, it's worth saying you recovered well the last couple of times.
Yeah.
So for me, Bowen's not going anywhere. I realise there'll be people want to jettison him out this week. And I get it. You know, if you're going from a Bowen to a Jota this week, of course, absolutely get it and stuff. But no, he's sticking for me. And like I said, I might even add another one once we get to 26. However, as shit as you were, mate, we shouldn't overlook how good the opposition were for the 35, 40-odd minutes that I watched of this game. And I suspect, looking at the statistics, it only got more damning the longer the game went on. Odegaard, over 100 passes completed and like 10 chances created or something absurd.
Dominant.
Arsenal did something a bit different than this. And to be honest, Arteta deserves credit because he got his tactics absolutely right against Liverpool. And he did with this one as well. So without Zinchenko, it's obviously uncomfortable for Kivior to move into the midfield area. Uncomfortable might be harsh. Let's just say it's not to be done in the same way. And I've long said to Clayton, why don't you just move Ben White into midfield and just do it the other way? And on this occasion, it happened, but the timing of it was quite important. So what Arsenal did quite a lot was it dropped Odegaard in with Rice really deep, and it dragged people out, and then suddenly he'd disappear, and then White would be joining Rice in there, and then Odegaard and Saka were having this beautiful little link on the right-hand side and basically just opening you up at will. And opening you up at will is tough, actually. To do what Arsenal did yesterday is tough. Not many teams do that against you. Look at how you defended at my place in December, right? It's not the first time we've seen something like that. So really cute tactically. I think also, obviously, with Trossard playing as the 9, he obviously wants to go and float into dangerous areas as well. Link perhaps more with Martinelli that side. Vacate the space, and it allowed Havertz to obviously arrive at the right time in the middle as well. So a very different setup from Arsenal, from the Liverpool game to this game, and we would expect a different setup, but also not just normal Arsenal. Something a bit different. That might be something to keep more of an eye on in terms of Ben White. I think one of the things they might not like about that longer term is if to play up against a team that has a dangerous left winger, someone not called Ben Johnson, for example, that I think they would rather Gabriel gets drawn out wide to, say, their left-hand side rather than Saliba to the right. Keeping Saliba against a real strong opponent, central, in terms of transition, I think is more important. They were happy to leave Gabriel with
it was too easy a game for them. Easier game.
To be honest. I think you're going to get a bit of rotation in terms of the forward areas and, to be honest, the whole team now with Arsenal. Obviously, Champions League will start up for them soon as well. The majority of the squad is fit. They're in a strong position. And for those who said they've got no chance of the title, I mean, to win the 2 games in the manner that they have the last 2 weeks, you'd have to say, yes, they're in it. And from an FPL perspective, these fixtures are great, Suj. So what I can definitely say to you is, despite it being a double game week, it's no effing way that Gabriel's getting benched this week away to Burnley. Newcastle at home, Sheffield United away, Brentford at home. It's great four fixtures.
It is.
And it might even be that my choice this week, if I decide to bin Trent, it's just to go, nah, sod this. I'll join Clayton and go double defensive. That might be my choice.
Just saying, he's triple defence.
He's triple, but he ain't got Saka, so you win some, you lose some.
Fair play.
I never wanted to sell Saka. I put my hands up and say, this is what happens when you get sucked into a certain strategy.
Yeah, yeah. Fixtures and planning and all this.
This is something to bear in mind. Saka's outscored Bowen by, 13 points this week?
15-pointer for Saka, 2-pointer for Bowen. 2-pointer
for Bowen. But selling Bowen this week rather than Saka possibly would have cost me probably at least, I think, 8 points further down the line. So although I've lost out by 13 points, I've still lost out, but I've not lost out as bad as it sounds, because as I said, my intention is, and maybe I'll face more pain for it, I'm not selling Jared Bowen with them West Ham fixtures, knowing that Pacatar's close, Antonio will be back, and he'll cover through nicely for me, Jared Bowen. And it still tallies, man.
Everything you said makes perfect sense.
Do I wish I was sitting there?
What you watch?
Do I wish I was had Saka sitting there rather than Bowen now? Yes,
yes,
of course.
Of course you do.
And Saka at Burnley, you just think, oh no. And to be honest, them fixtures, you think there could be more. But I had a real look at Saka before I sold him, and I know his underlines have been on the rise recently. But do you know what? I even thought, Suj, he's returned well in the last two. This might even be a good time to jump off. Do you know what I mean? Rather than people do it like people, a lot of us captain him against Palace. Just loads of people sold him after that blank against Palace. That's only three games ago where they won 5-0 when he didn't look like he was going to return. So,
yeah, I'll have to wait and see what happens with my returning to Arsenal, to be honest with you. It'll be a 26 question when I'm selling. I've got Jota and Trent to get rid of in 26. So it could easily be Saliba and Saka, but I'm only causing myself a problem for 29 if I buy those two. So I'll have to wait and see how much do I factor in.
That's it. I could go
29
I could
players.
Go Jota to Saka in 26, but going Kudos seems more fun. Okay, someone sack me.
Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 2. If you go off XG, James, possibly one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. 2.4 versus 1.79. 40 shots in the game.
Was it that many?
Between the two.
Good
of
game,
them.
Really enjoyable.
23 for Aston Villa, 17 for Manchester United. And they'll be super happy to come away with a victory. Scott McTominay, beast, mate. How many goals this season? He's up to double digits in all competitions, I'm sure now.
He's up to about seven or something.
And that's in the league. It's crazy.
The thing is, I think Ten Hag worked this out with McTominay a long time ago. Don't use him in a build-up or anything. Can he be a penalty area crasher?
Yeah, is he a shit Thomas Soucek or a better Thomas Soucek?
I think I saw a stat, and I might have this wrong.
Penalty box merchant.
No, his goals have been worth more points than any other player, possibly.
For Manchester United?
No, I think in the league.
Okay,
maybe.
Like late
like
winners.
Like his actual direct goals.
Yeah, yeah.
That can't be right. Maybe it's of midfielders or something. They might be discounting the likes of Salah on that.
The number of times he scored late goals for Man United, it wouldn't surprise me. If that stat was correct.
Maybe it's injury time goals counted, but possibly that. Injury time goals counted to the most points, maybe. He's been much maligned. I thought Maguire was excellent, by the way. It was really good. Looked like... I'm happy to say it, because I don't think it's a one-off now. When I've watched Harry Maguire over the last few months, I think all the way back to the Fulham game. Remember when he had that clash of heads early in the game, he probably should have gone off. Like, every time I've watched him since, he's been pretty good.
Yep.
So I think he's in good form. I think he has a leadership element to that at the back. I'm not saying he should be in United's best team. Look, Martinez is out for a couple of months. But I think he's doing well. He's dirt cheap in FPL.
4-4, 4-5, no.
4-2.
Whoa. I didn't expect he'd come out with that.
4-2. The only thing with that is, because I'm looking at a United defender possibly for 26. And that might change now because of the Trent injury. But if I'd have locked in a plan, you said these have to be your transfers for the next 5 weeks before this weekend happened, one of them would have been Trent to Dallow in 26. And the reason for Dallow would be, you want to have a guess?
Plays in 29? No.
He
doesn't, because we're still United
Forest.
This is
where my brain can get a bit complex, and you shouldn't necessarily listen to me.
Okay, go on.
This is because in 29, the only game I wouldn't have coverage for if it happened is Manchester United against Sheffield United. And my thinking is...
You need Forest to beat them for that.
Yeah, I know. But it would cover me off of, say, Doughty then not playing, right? Think about it.
So you're hedging your bets,
so
as opposed to going all in.
So this is the thing. Luton Forest, right, is the most likely additional game into 29. We
Correct.
Have three games we know currently. Luton Forest is the less most likely.
Fulham,
be careful.
Tottenham.
There's a lot of people assuming that game's going to happen. It's probably only about a 60% probability that it happens. Remember, if it doesn't happen, Manchester United and
Sheffield United,
there's every chance it does happen instead. But what it meant was, if I went with Dalot, if there was any additional fixture, no matter what it was, I had an additional player that was going to save me a hit going into 29, because I'd have one player from the fixture. And that's why I was looking at it. And you say, well, why Dalot over Maguire? Well, think about it. If I'm selling Trent, I'm not going to worry about Maguire's 4.2. I've got money coming out of my ears, and I'm talking about people, buying
We've
people
got
like
2 million
Kudos,
in the bank.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why. So I think, if you're heading towards 29, a lot of the value of these players is almost irrelevant. Like, it's almost, can you afford them or not?
Unless you're trying to get back Salah, if you're really desperate to get him
in. Yes, I get that. But if you've made a commitment, say you're making these transfers in 26, and if Salah does blank in 29, he's got City in 28, people probably aren't forcing it.
Yep.
You'd argue Forest in 27 against a real low block, and it definitely will be against Forest, then how much do you even want him for that? So if you're not going down that route where you're forcing the likes of him back in, and you've got so many enabling players, and you've now started heading towards Bournemouth assets, for example, then deciding between a Dalot and Maguire is not money orientated, is it? It's just, which one can I afford? Obviously down to understanding if you're wildcarding afterwards. For me, my intention currently is to wildcard straight after the blank of 29. And therefore, the value of going, well, Dalot over Maguire, it won't matter.
No.
Even looking further, oh, I want to get Son in, for example. Like, it's not going to
be a problem.
It's not going to be a problem, because that will probably be for like a Foden or a Jota. So the money wouldn't necessarily be needed. So, but I think Maguire and Dalot are interesting. Obviously, Lindelof came on for sure at left back, and unfortunately, I presume that's another injury issue for sure. Varane, I probably wouldn't go near. That attacking, if we can call them attacking six now, not that we really certainly don't define Casemiro and Maino especially as that, sticks now, I think. And Garnacho, again, to contradict myself on the value, but going Garnacho rather than a Rashford might be important in terms of money. And that's a great pickup if someone wants to go down that route. I think he's beginning to look more and more dangerous. I was a little bit concerned that if he went to the right, his output might be on the wane. But actually, what it's enabled is he's drifting into some of these central areas a little bit more. And because Rashford wants to hold the touchline on the left. And so actually, I think Garnacho would be the one to get offensive if you want to get. Message for Gareth Southgate, by the way. Kobbie Mainoo and next England squad, please get him in it. Really good.
Message for Gary Robinson, who is our Manchester United correspondent.
Stop criticising
Ron Mukherjee, because that's one of the questions that we've had in on Twitter that I thought I would make a public service announcement for. And he does say, can you ask Gary Robinson what it will take for him to stop criticising McTominay and Maguire?
Gary Robinson.
They've been better than most of our players this season.
Gary Robinson will be on Clash of Correspondents next week with Dara Cullen, ahead of Manchester United Fulham. So we will talk more Manchester United with him next week. On Villa, I think losing was harsh. Is the first important thing to say. I also think that United previously, once Douglas Luiz equalised, United would normally buckle. And they didn't, actually. They still had their own good chances. But I do think it was harsh that Villa lost the game. The big thing out of this is Kamara's injury.
Yeah. So the way they did the subs was a bit funny, because then Diaby comes on for Kamara, but then Tielemans came on for Bailey. Like, Diaby is a more direct swap for Bailey.
I
and
think
maybe Tielemans was getting ready anyway. There was like 5 minutes between them.
I'm not a physio, but I think that could be really bad news on Boubacar Kamara.
Yeah, we thought that about João Pedro, though, when he popped up playing at the weekend. So
yeah, but I didn't see what happened to João Pedro. Okay. I saw what happened to Boubacar Kamara. And I would have fingers crossed for him that that's not an ACL. Because it might be.
Yeah, no one wants anyone injured. Touch wood.
No, but obviously an ACL doesn't just rule him out of this season, does it? It rules him out of half of next season probably as well. So touch wood for him that it's not. the chances are, though, he's probably done, I would suggest, at least sort of the Martinez one, where he's done some sort of ligament damage, and that'll keep him out for a while, I think. He is so important to them. There isn't anyone else in that squad that can replicate what he does in their build-up, and also often without the ball either. He will be a huge loss. I'm serious. A huge loss. And that's going to be really problematic for them. That said, they've got great fixtures coming up, and for there'll be certain games where they can deal with it, but if they're without him for the rest of the season, they'll find top four very difficult, I think. It will mean possibly a knock-on of that is a deeper role for Douglas Luiz. So there is a fantasy aspect on that as well.
We had a question around whether Luiz or Bailey would be the better asset to go to now for midfield. But if you're saying Luiz is going to drop in deeper, but then he's still on all the set pieces and penalties and corners.
McGinn can do it as well.
Yeah.
You could ask Tielemans to do it, but I think when Villa have used Tielemans in build-up in deep, he struggled a bit. You might remember him getting caught out quite a bit for Leicester late in the last season in a few games where he was receiving off the back four and didn't turn and pivot as quickly. I think he's a player who prefers to see the game rather than having his back to it. Kamara manages to manoeuvre his way into right-back position. This is part of what allows as well Cash and Bailey. Him going into there allows them to go up further up the pitch. It works better with Cash and, say, a McGinn in front, because McGinn just drops into midfield, whereas Bailey's moving more into a central area. And the thing is with Bailey, you want to keep him wide where he can attack people one-on-one. That's where you get him at his best. So there's a real knock-on impact on this to Aston Villa. I was actually surprised, as I said, that Bailey played, because I just think that Cash and Bailey dynamic together doesn't work. I thought Bailey played fine. Cash played a much more defensive role than what's common. I saw him do this in game week 2 against Everton, where he played as a real defensive right back. It's not suitable for him, because the reality is he isn't actually very good defensively. The best of him is bombing up the touchline and him having that space to work into it, which, again, if Bailey's in his way, just doesn't work in the same way. So I think there's real confliction as to what might happen next with Villa assets. And most of you are not looking to buy this week. And Fulham away, I've mentioned Fulham's home record, is a challenge.
Yep.
Now, after that, though, if you're heading to 29, I think you look at 26, and then it's Forest at home and a good run of fixtures. It's Forest at home, Luton away. Tottenham at home is particularly good for the offensive players. We know that. And then West Ham away in 29. And if you're carrying further, Wolves at home 30 is okay as well. So Villa going to get right on radar. What they do this weekend is really important. I wouldn't go investing in any of their assets next week, but we are going to be looking at them properly in the build-up to 29, no doubt.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Good, good. Cool. That's a wrap-up of all the games from the week.
I felt like there was one
more. There's one tonight, James. Crystal Palace against Chelsea.
Chelsea don't win comfortably tonight. I need shooting.
Yeah, they do.
Palace without Gay, Eze and Elise.
Should be straightforward, but that's not how it works in this league, James.
We think we know the Chelsea team, by the way.
You think you know the Chelsea team. We haven't heard that off.
There's someone
I'm
who
not
keeps
getting involved in being no leaker.
No, it's not me. It's not a secondary leaker. Information.
I'm going to upset
there's
no one.
Someone,
mate.
I think
I don't spend a lot of time on the internet, but I do know that people are vexed with leakers, Nathan, James.
Now you're trying to blame
someone else.
Nathan Gissing or something, who's a journalist.
You're leaking, James.
He keeps predicting the team right, like, every game. We think Thiago Silva in a back four. But I think tonight they'll get away with
they'll
it.
Probably
otherwise,
be
it's basically the team that won at Villa near enough, I think. So Palmer will definitely play. Gusto and Chilwell, the fullbacks. That's what's being reported.
What we got to serve the people with this week in terms of content, James? I might pick out a couple of questions on Tinternet.
Loads. Clash of Correspondents tomorrow. Manchester City versus Brentford with Johnny Pringle and Tom Med, ahead of obviously the double for both in 25. Sky Fantasy on Wednesday. Clayton is joining me for a People's Poll podcast on Thursday. The vote will go out for that at around about 5 p.m. on the Bird app. That's because we probably need to pre-record it on Wednesday this week. Gives a bit of time to prep. And it is chip strategy themed. It'll either be we can look at a free hit, game with 25. We can look at bench boost versus triple captain, game with 25. What I'd like to do with that, if that wins, is actually have a look at a few of your teams and decipher whether we triple captain or bench boost it. Take some teams from the community. Also, we
that's
can
interesting
discuss
because a few of the questions we've had in on the internet are should I bench boost or triple captain?
Okay,
and they're
cool.
Listing out all their benches, so maybe resend
vote
them into
for it,
James
then.
For people's
vote
poll.
For it. Yes. The third option is planning specifically for dead ending in game week 29. Whichever two lose that vote, we will be covering off on Patreon this week. Friday, I'll be streaming Patreon pods this week, include the two losers of that people's poll vote on Thursday. Q&A today. Tomorrow, UCL fantasy preview. Tottenham Arse this week, which I must stress for Suj's benefit. Suj did say last week, stick it in. And I think we're going to call Tottenham Arse Arse in the Ham, maybe, or something.
There's a pun there somewhere, no doubt.
We'll do our Game Week 25 preview on Friday as well. The advanced tier content this week includes me and Suj trying to eat four Big Macs.
Is that happening on Wednesday?
Yes, it really. Yeah, you told me Wednesday, so it's happening.
Listen, this we have a Q&A on every Monday. And I think it was Andrew or someone said, could we both eat four Big Macs in one sitting?
Yeah, we're going to do it.
I think this came from the boys at Juice.
I think so.
So give them credit. And even if they didn't come from them, they've got a bit of a shout and credit anyway.
Should we give Juice the rights for it?
So we're doing this on Wednesday where we're eating four Big Macs.
So I literally messaged you which day and you said Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah. I think we had this conversation. So that's worth the Patreon money on its own.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make that point.
I'll make that. I'm going to make that available for Intermediate Plus.
Do you know what they've got as well at McDonald's right now? They've got obviously the McSpicy.
Can I just say that's obviously only going to go out as a video. No one wants that as an audio.
There's a McSpicy with Frank's hot sauce.
I'll piss off.
That would be the end of Planet FPL. If James ate that, he would die. You would actually. I think
not
that would
doing
be
that, mate.
You would die.
Not doing. I literally would shit myself on
Clayton,
camera, mate. I'm not doing that.
Ate it last week, and he told me about it. I wouldn't fully go into his description, but it did involve stories about a toilet.
There is some football stuff.
Spicy with Frank's.
There is some football stuff for the advanced tiers as well. Unanswered queues today. Twitter stories on Monday Night Football tonight as well. Also got the team news stream for you on Friday. We've got Nico's Corner this week as well. And talking tactics this week because I watched an additional game on Saturday night, Suj.
Yes.
Talking tactics on Xavi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen and be available for advanced tier patrons this Friday.
Giving Harry Kane and Munich a slap up
they
at the weekend.
Did.
Properly as well.
But I think this will surprise. I don't want to give the game away. Which manager I thought of when I watched his team at the weekend. I think it was surprise.
Well, that's for the advanced tiers. Vicky wants to know that she's got front three of Haaland, Tony and Alvarez. Should Darwin come in for Alvarez? And she already has Foden and Jota. So she's quite stacked in terms of double game week players. You're swapping one double game week player for another, whether or not they'll both get full minutes in the doubles.
I think I wouldn't do it.
No,
I'd only want to do it if it was part of getting De Bruyne.
Okay.
That's the only way I would want to do it. I made my transfers Friday night. What I was saying on my deadline stream on Saturday, which is the same time this week, Saturday morning. On YouTube, is like what happens if like the City leak comes through and or Alvarez isn't in it? Do I get tempted to take the -4 for Nunes? And the example I kept giving is, well, this time next week I might be sitting there and I get the Liverpool team at Brentford. Then what if Nunes isn't in it? What do I do to reverse that back to Alvarez? And suddenly I'm taking -8s across the path here.
Yeah, yeah,
so,
not worth it.
Sure, Nunes scored at the weekend and Alvarez didn't. What was the difference? 4 points. So. Like, no, I think Alvarez will get enough minutes in the double that it's probably not worth like two home games for City as well.
Last question of the show, James. Trent, best replacements, name them. Because a few people have said that. Reguilón, Estupiñán.
Look, it depends on your strategy. The immediate's in Dallow. Front of you is... If Conor Bradley's fit... I don't mind it. The safest Liverpool one to get by a mile is Van Dijk. And I think if you're getting someone just for the one game and then intending to sell it straight away in 26, go Van Dijk. Again, the money's, he's 2 million more. If you're selling it straight away and you're selling it and from Trent, it doesn't matter, does it? Just go Van Dijk. He'll play twice. Double game weeks are littered with people like Van Dijk scoring from corners and the like. So I think Van Dijk for this week is probably the best choice. That might give you a headache for 16. For 26, sorry. Brentford players will carry you through, but the double's crap. Tom Med's obviously on COTC tomorrow. I'm pretty sure he would say Reguilón at the moment rather than the centre-backs. But I'm not sure I agree with that opinion. For City, it's just a nightmare. I think probably the outstanding one would maybe be Diaz. But with City, you want it to carry you for a little bit longer. I think from the single game week players, don't overlook Arsenal necessarily.
Yep.
Like Gabriel, Saliba, Ben White. Again, I think look, with the way they're doing from set pieces, Arsenal, it probably is the centre-backs. You know they're going to play, basically, most of the time as well. Not that Ben White isn't, but I think the centre-backs. And then, yeah, you can start looking at a few others building towards 29. But you don't invest in like Porro or Udogie at the moment because of the blank in 26. Ironically, no, not West Ham. I think West Ham Villa need eyes on them, but it's the wrong week.
Yeah.
It's the wrong week. So I think from the single game week players, honestly, for me, it would probably be up back to Arsenal.
Okay, good, good. Listeners, thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Planet FPL. If you want some of that additional content that James mentioned earlier, then head over to patreon.com/planetfpl where you can come and support the show. Not only do you get all of that additional content at intermediate tier and advanced tier, but there's
you get to leave
so
Twitter because we've got a nice Slack
stuff.
Community.
Yeah, the Slack community is awesome. There's over 750 managers in there that will help you across multiple formats of the game as well. So Sky and all the other stuff is covered off. We've got fans of all of the teams ready to help you there as well. You get ad-free podcasts, so even the regular stuff, if you want to listen to it without an advert popping up for God knows what. What is it these days? Bullsh, trimmers, VPNs, used cars. If you want ad-free content because you don't need any of those products, head over to patreon.com/planetfpl.
You remind me of something. Very,
James's spreadsheet.
Very, very important. Just if
blanks,
I can.
Doubles,
this will
marks
take
everything
30
out.
Seconds. So obviously my projections are on FPL team in terms of the future, double game weeks and blanks, etc. I must stress, I'm way less confident of them than I was prior to Chelsea beating Aston Villa. Essentially, every game you see currently in game projected for game week 34 as an additional midweek fixture,
could be in
I think could be flipped with game week 37. The whole lot. Bar, I think the Liverpool fixtures will stick. And the Liverpool fixtures aren't particularly relevant anyway. That's down to what we said about the policing issue of Everton Liverpool being in 37. It's something I don't think anyone wants. But other than them, and the Liverpool games with Everton and Fulham, if they get postponed, aren't relevant to any other games because Everton and Fulham are both out of the cups, right? Everything that I've got projected for 34 could literally switch with 37. And if that's the case, it makes 34 look even worse.
Okay.
But then you can spin your narrative whether that makes it better or worse to free hit then.
There was a semi-segue in there where you're talking about your predictions being on FPL team. Between now and the end of the season, if you are one of our patrons, you get the subscribed use of FPL team, where you can log in and save your transfers and use some of the other features that Pete's got in there as well. So that's a massive advantage for anybody who wants to, and that's from basic tier and above as well. So we want to support Pete and what he's doing. He's been a supporter of the show from day dot, basically. So we've decided to chuck in. If you get patron,
just one thing though, Pete, don't run maintenance on the site at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's when James wants to use
We was all on it at 1 o'clock in the morning, making our decisions before the 1:30 a.m. price changes. But FPL team is a godsend. I couldn't do any of the strategy planning that I do without it. It's brilliant.
I'm sure there's other benefits of Patreon. Go onto the website, read them, and sign up and come and join us. But most importantly, stay safe, look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Play it your way. Don't do what I do. Definitely play it your way. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.